On behalf of the family, we want to extend a warm welcome to everyone and appreciate your being here to support Christine and just lift up Christian love in this moment. Our prayer is that this service will celebrate Barbara's life, a life well lived, a life full of faith, hope, and love. And we also lift up the hope we have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, from the dead, which means that we're not just gathered here to go through some kind of ritual to help us cope in the moment, but we're here because we believe that the Christian faith is true and that Jesus Christ truly has been raised from the dead, and our hope is secure in what Christ has done for us. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me will not remain in darkness." And with the psalmist, we gather trusting, saying that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let us open our hearts wide to the grace and love of God. Please pray with me. Almighty and loving God, you are our refuge and strength, a very present help in our time of grief. Therefore, we will not grieve as those who have no hope. For as a father has compassion for his children, so you, O Lord, have compassion for those who trust you. And as a mother comforts her child, so you, O God, comfort us. Eternal God, we acknowledge the uncertainty of our life on earth. We are given a mere handful of days, and our span of life seems nothing in your sight. All flesh is as grass, and all its beauty is like a flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but your word, O Lord, will stand forever. And this is our hope, for you are our God. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. Your love for us is from everlasting to everlasting. You alone can turn the shadow of death into the brightness of the morning light. Help us to turn to you with believing hearts. In the stillness of this hour, speak to us of eternal things, so that hearing the promises in Scripture, we may have hope and be lifted up above our distress into the love and peace of your presence, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And if you're able, I invite you to stand as we sing our opening hymn, "How Great Thou Art." As we come to the reading of God's Word, as we begin with the Old Testament, people down through the centuries have found strength and comfort and hope and promise and grace in moments like this when they've suffered a loss, where they experienced God's presence and God's love in a very meaningful and powerful way. We understand that we can only know as much about a person as that person is willing to reveal to us. And if that's true and we can see someone, how much more true is that of God who we can't see? But God has made his love made known to us through the scriptures, his written word, and through Jesus Christ, his living word, that we might be assured that we are not alone and that we can bring our hearts, our grief, and all of our feelings to him because he loves us. Our first reading is from the book of Lamentations, written by the prophet Jeremiah. And Lamentations, the name kind of describes the sort of the sense of the book, but here we find words within the lamentation, which is so often true, especially in the Psalms, where the psalmist might say, "How long, O Lord?" but always comes back around to an expression of faith at the end. Lamentations 3, beginning in verse 21. "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, or his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And then in Proverbs 31, which is one that lifts up a faithful and virtuous woman, that proverb closes with these words: "Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates." And now I invite you to join me in reading the beloved 23rd Psalm, which is printed in your bulletin. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I invite you now to stand for our middle hymn, which is "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
Thank you. There are two scripture readings for this morning's message. I'll share one more in the course of the meditation for the memorial service later in the message. The first scripture reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 16. Of course, in Matthew 5, you have the Sermon on the Mount, and I begin reading just before verse 16 so that you can see the context in which it comes. I begin reading in Matthew 5, verse 13. "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house." And then the key verse, verse 16. "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Then the second reading is from the Gospel of John in chapter 16, verse 22. It is a verse where Jesus is teaching his disciples. He explains to his disciples that after a time of pain, a time of deep sorrow, his followers will eventually come to experience through his Holy Spirit great joy and clarity. And this concludes in chapter 16. He gives this beloved promise at verse 22. "So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord our God, great is your faithfulness. And we remember this morning like the psalmist. We remember the psalmist who said, "In thy presence there is fullness of joy." And so as we gather this day for the celebration of Barbara Ann's life, remind us today of that promise and the hope of the resurrection that comes through Jesus Christ our Lord, the pioneer of our faith and the first raised from the dead. In his name we pray. Amen. Today is a difficult day. Barbara was well known among us. I have met people this morning who have come from St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church and from Heritage, people here at Northwood, of course. She was well loved in our community, especially in her role as a teacher and a mother and so on and so forth. She was well known and was very active in this church. And so today comes as an especially difficult day, especially for her two daughters and their wider family. We especially remember today her daughter Nancy and husband John in Franklin, Tennessee. I know where that is. It's just a stone's throw north of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, where I attended college. You have to go over a big mountain to get there, Monegal Mountain. And they are socked in snow and ice and are watching through our live streaming. And so we welcome you, Nancy, and continue to pray for you in this time of loss. We also remember her daughter, Christine. Christine lives here locally, and we keep you in our prayers as well as your wider family and friends. But today is a difficult day because we face the reality of Barbara's death. I would say to you, it's the first time in my ministry over many years that I received a call on Christmas Day to learn that she had died that morning. And while she had been in the hospital and was going to rehab, it was a surprise as to the suddenness of it. That's the way loss can come. It can surprise us. It can do many things to us emotionally. But sooner or later, we all come to the reality and know the experience of grief and the loss of someone that's close to us. It's part of our journey in this life. But this morning, as we reflect on the loss of Barbara among us, I want to say lovingly to all of you, and especially to the family, that the occasion of death can be indeed painful. We know that. And the pain of that loss is called grief. And grief over the someone that we love, is experienced not just for a day or a month, it's experienced for a lifetime. It changes us forever when we experience the loss of someone close to us. And so days like today, like receptions which follow, they become holy moments in time. Clearly, they mark our lives, hopefully in positive ways. Clearly, it's a turning point in the Schlur family. But it's also a time for us as people of faith together and to celebrate her life and her faith. And that's why we're gathering today, to do just that. But all of us know that death indeed is a part of living. I remember telling this story once and Barbara smiling and even giggling. She was attending a memorial service and I had said that I had checked the newspaper this morning and they were still listing obituaries, that the mortality rate was still 100%. And she smiled and told me later how she thought that was funny. She had that wonderful smile, almost a humility, a humbleness about her. And I remember, I can almost see her face even now. Well, there are many things that are written about grief. There are authors who tell us about the stages and experience of grief in our journey through it. And I want to just mention a few of those this morning. The first stage of grief is often shock. We are often stunned by the news. Our minds and hearts find it hard often to absorb the reality of losing someone close to us, someone that will no longer physically be with us. And this is a natural response for us, especially is true when you learn of a loved one's death on Christmas Day. There's also sometimes emotional release, and that's often marked by crying, by tears. It's healthy to cry. God gave us tear ducts, and it's healthy to cry, to release deeply felt emotions. There could be nothing more natural than to do that. And when tears come, and they can come when we least expect it, they often can be gifts to release that emotional response that we have. In the journey, we also can feel despair. We can feel loneliness. And this is often a time where there is a lot of confusion. There are papers to sign, there are plans to make, there are services like this to establish, and it can be a time in which we have a hard time focusing. And at such times, we need to remember that even though the clouds hang low and things can become cloudy, that God is still the God of our world. He is the ruler over all things. Although the wrong seems so strong, God is the ruler yet. Another stage of grief can be that of guilt, even anger. I've experienced some of this personally from others when they have lost a loved one. I remember years ago, Marge Vada, we were meeting in the parlor. Her husband Frank had died, and Bob Davenport was here as one of our interim associate pastors at that time before Paul came. And Bob had sent Marge a little booklet about the stages of grief. And Marge said right before the service, she said, "Pastor Chris, Pastor Bob," she said, "I want to tell you, I've read that booklet over and over, and I have yet to experience any anger at all about Frank's death." And Bob looked at her and said, "Well, it comes when you least expect it." And the whole family laughed. And then we cried together, and we prayed. Sometimes we can get angry at ourselves. We can feel a sense of guilt because of not doing this or that in the time that we had with a loved one. We are not our best selves at that stage. We need not to inappropriately punish ourselves, but to move on as our loved one would want us to. Grief, it very often chooses its own path. It is indeed a journey. And finally, faith comes to a stage, and it takes some time, if ever, to get to this for many people, when we realize that life goes on. Healing begins when we begin to get on with living, which is what I believe, Christine and Nancy, that your mother would want for you. To get on with living and enjoy life and celebrate life and faith and your relationships. And remember her, of course, but to get on with life, the life she nurtured in you that she loved in you so much. I remember in the Bible it tells us that Jesus, after he had been crucified, the disciples were torn with grief over his death. And in the Gospel of Luke, one of his disciples, Peter, who was a fisherman by trade, he said an unusual thing. He said to the other disciples, "I'm going fishing." And other disciples said, "I'll go with you." And they went back to do this routine thing of fishing, perhaps to think about the events that had just happened, but they were getting on with the healing that it takes, maybe doing it routinely, not even realizing what they were doing, but healing was beginning for them. It would come in time. It would come. And we pray that for you, and all those who love you pray the same. Through the journey of grief, we can find again and renew our relationship with God and with others. We are never the same person that we were. We cannot go back. And so the journey leads us forward. I remember, as I said to Christine the other day, my father-in-law, Fred Kinfield, had just died. And I remember visiting Bob and Barbara both in the hospital at Countryside. They were there at the same time. And Bob was scheduled to go home. But in going home, he would have to have someone stay with him. And he liked his independence. "No," he said, "I don't need anyone to come and babysit me." And we were talking to the doctor, we were talking to Bob, trying to convince him of this. And I went down to Barbara's room, and I was explaining what we were doing, and she smiled, and she said, "Yes, he doesn't want that." And then I noted that even my own grief began to show itself. I found tears coming at a time I didn't expect it. And there at Barbara's hospital bed, she patted my arm and said, "It's okay. I know of your loss as well." She was a sensitive human being, and people that knew her knew that of her. She had caring ways. And it led me in my preparation to this particular meditation to think about 1 Corinthians 13 again. If you read 1 Corinthians 13, at the very end of that chapter, there are two verses that are often overlooked. After telling the kind of love that endures all things, the Apostle Paul writes these words: "For now, in the world, we see in a mirror dimly. Now we know in part. But then, once we die, we fully understand." I find comfort in those words, because even now, in faith, I only partially understand. But I know in time that God's promise is, I will fully understand in the presence of God. And we pray that. We pray that for you and all of your family and friends. But now we know only in part. We do not fully understand. Barbara, she was known as a light among us. She let her light shine before others. And you can read in this beautiful celebration summary, this insert in the bulletin, of many of her achievements, her accomplishments, especially in education. She had a great love for her family and friends. She loved her church. And Barbara also loved her Lord Jesus Christ. She loved her Lord. She loved her Savior. And because she let her light shine before us and before others, we give glory to God for her life today, and we celebrate it in this hour. Yes, God gave us tear ducts for which to weep for those who die. But those who die, they are in a wonderful, wonderful place. And they have grown and they have blossomed into something that we cannot imagine. Because as the psalmist says, in his presence there is fullness of joy. And one day, my friends, one day we will know not just in part, but we will come one day to fully understand. Even if it comes, as it did to this family, like a gift on Christmas Day, the gift of the resurrection. And here's the gift. Jesus promised it. "I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Praise be to God for that wonderful promise of the resurrection, that we will experience the fullness of joy in the presence of our Creator. Amen. Let us pray. O God, our Father, from whom we come, unto whom we return, and in whom we live and move and have our very being, we praise you for the good gift of life this day, for its wonder and mystery, It's friendships and fellowships, and we thank you for the ties that bind us to one another. We thank you, O Lord, for your loving and patient dealings with us in the journey of life, whereby you do ever teach us your way. And we thank you this day for the meaning that lies hidden, even in the heart of sorrow, disappointment, and grief. For we thank you for your guiding hand along our life's pilgrimage. We give you thanks this day for your servant, Barbara Schlurf, recalling in her, all in her that made others to love her. We thank you for the good and gracious influences of her home and training, and for all that ministered to her best life. And we thank you especially for the goodness and the truth that have passed from her life into the life of others and truly made this world richer for her presence. We keep in our thoughts and prayers her daughters, Nancy and Christine, grandson Matthew, and wider family and friends. Keep them close to you, O Lord, in the coming days. Guide them through this journey called grief, and help us all to embrace the great promise that where you are, we will also be. And we praise you for your name this day and for our hope that has been so wondrously confirmed in the life and words and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray now unto you, using the words that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand and sing with me our closing hymn, Amazing Grace.
Thank you.
I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. She that believeth in me, though she were dead, yet shall she live. And whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And now unto the mercy of Almighty God, we commend the soul of our sister departed, Barbara Ann Schlurf. We commit her body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Invite you to the Christian Education Building.